This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Hello, and welcome to Force of Light Entertainment. I'm your host, Michelle, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my sister, Natalie the Red.
It is I.
Well, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Also, hit the notification bell for those of you watching on YouTube. Also, for those of you listening on podcasts, go ahead and subscribe and leave us a kind review on Apple Podcasts, if you don't mind, for those of you there. Also, please share our channel or podcast, whichever way you watch or listen, with someone that you think would enjoy our content, because we've got all kinds of stuff. If you like talking entertainment, we're here for you guys.
We're kind of all over the place.
We are. We cover a lot of things. In fact, for those of you listening right now on podcast, in total last week, let's see, we had four videos. So
yeah.
Or three.
Cranking it out.
Yeah, so definitely if you more so, or some of you guys I know are more podcast people, if you listening, definitely check out our YouTube
pod
channel,
people.
Though. Yeah, your pod people. For the pod people, we've had some wonderful live discussions and some other content that you probably would enjoy. So also check that out if you are listening. Well, let's see. Actually, today we are going to do our giveaway. We'd be mentioning it. We'd hit our goal of 350 subscribers. So on to 400, everyone. And anyways, you guys seem to like this Funko Pop so well last time that we did it. This Empire Strikes Back 40th edition of Luke and Yoda. So we are going to give this away for the second time.
We thought we'd bring it back.
Yes. And the way we're going to do, the way we always do, one, make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. Two, leave a comment below. And three, give the video a thumbs up. So do all those things and you will be entered immediately into the giveaway.
If you do a thumbs down, for you that does, you're not entered.
You get out. You get out of it. But yeah, definitely make sure those of you listening on podcast, you too, just jump over to our YouTube channel and you can enter in for that Empire Strikes Back, Yoda, Luke, Funko Pop, which is really cool. So definitely check that out. And then I want to let you guys know this Wednesday, this Wednesday we are going to have a special live stream podcast episode at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to have Liv and Nicole, and we are going to be discussing just a kind of fun girls chat, but guys, you're welcome, and you're going to enjoy it too, I believe. We're going to be talking 90s teen movies, so definitely check that out. Yes, and if you don't watch it live, we will upload that to podcast probably that Thursday, sometime Thursday, so for those of you who prefer, again, to listen. But definitely be on the lookout for that, because that's going to be fun, and we're excited for that discussion. But anyways, today we will continue our first watch series with the 1979 horror sci-fi movie Alien. So join the conversation and let's talk some aliens.
Some extraterrestrials.
Yes, let's do that. Okay, so right off the bat, again, somehow this was one of these movies that just Natalie and I never watched. You know what it is? We really can blame our brother Michael, because this
we
is...
We kind of watched what he watched.
Except for the girly stuff we watched.
Yeah, true.
So if it was something more sci-fi or adventure, if Michael didn't have it in the house, we probably didn't see it.
Yeah.
Unless it was more romantic or girly stuff that we watched on our own.
Yeah,
so,
that our mom had in
so
the house.
So we blame you, Michael. So.
Yes, we do. Fully.
So that,
for this discrepancy.
Yes. For the fact that we've not seen this beloved movie that, wow, so many of you guys just absolutely love this movie. And I knew very little of this movie, but the one thing...
I knew, like, nothing except for one image that I saw somewhere, which was, like something erupting out of a dude's stomach.
Well, the one thing that I've always heard about is anytime people talk about, like, incredible female characters, Ripley, Sigourney Weaver's character in this movie, is always mentioned. So I've heard Ripley discussed for so many years, but I never watched Ripley because I'd never watched Alien. So it was nice to finally see this infamous Ripley character in action. And, I mean, Sigourney Weaver, she is, and we'll get into that too, but She just commands a presence. Like, I noticed that even when, like, I liked the Netflix Marvel stuff, when she was the villain in the Defenders series. Like, she just commands a presence, and there's authority to Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she does. You're right.
And even in, like, say, Ghostbusters, even when she's a little more lighthearted, she just still has a presence.
She has boss lady vibes.
She does. That's a good way to put it. She does have boss lady vibes. Like, that's truly kind of how I would describe that. And you see that in this movie.
Yes.
But we'll kind of start where the movie does. Natalie and I, we both kind of laughed because the movie, it's that classic 70s, even early 80s, they used to do it, where because they're showing you all the people in the movie and playing the credits at the beginning.
You've got like 10 minutes.
Of just music. Like
and the visuals like floating through, which granted, I mean, it was cool.
Yes.
Like, I enjoyed seeing it, but it's like, right, when's this going to get
going? Well, at first we're like, oh yeah, the cool 70s kind of intro.
Then 2 hours later.
If we were to record ourselves, it'd be like 5 minutes later. And we're like, wait, no, we're just joking, clearly.
Then I joked there was going to be like a full 45 minutes. No time. No person. No people.
Just
starting to wonder.
Just falling through the ship. And it actually kind of starts very Star Wars-like, where you just see the overhead of this huge ship going through space. So that was pretty cool. And I would say, I can imagine that the special effects for 1979, I can imagine that it was very top-notch in its day. And really,
they look great.
Really, outside of like when the alien jumps out of the dude's stomach, like for the most part, things hold up still.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all this time later. So the special effects definitely, I'm sure in 1979, were just phenomenal for the time. It's definitely. So, you know, this story kind of starts, and they get this call, and they've got to go check that thing out, and they start going through, like, that alien spaceship, I guess is what it is. You guys can correct us if we're wrong on that. I mean, that's kind of...
It's our first time viewing.
Yeah. And I just, the people in there, you were just like, once he starts finding it, you're like, why are you so I guess that was their job, but you're like, just leave it alone.
Yeah, it's like, I get that, but it's like, you as the audience watching it for the first time even, you just know, it's like, if you touch that thing, man, there's going to be...
some consequences.
Yeah, there's going to be pandemonium.
And there is, because that little thing just jumps out and, like, latches onto the dude's face, which now I get the reference in The Mandalorian in episode 3 of season 2... Is it episode 3?
Episode 2.
No. Episode 3, where he's eating the soup.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I thought you were talking about on the thing with the spiders.
No, Grogu's eating the soup, and it jumps out and pshoom, latches onto his face.
Yeah.
It clearly had to be an alien reference, which now we get. We're learning here.
We're catching up.
We are. So then you kind of begin to see the power dynamics between Ripley and this Ash dude. Because I guess
there's clearly like some tension from the start.
Yes.
And I will say it kind of feels like at first I found it a little hard to connect emotionally to the characters because it kind of feels like nobody really likes each other particularly. Like
you do kind of get that vibe at times. Well, at times they're kind of happy together.
Yeah, like I thought Dallas and Sigourney Weaver kind of had a rapport, but then that.
This
you guys
was,
know how that happened.
This
but
is
it
didn't
one
really
of the, go anywhere.
This is one of these movies that in the beginning, like I was kind of like, he's gonna die, he's gonna die, she's gonna die.
And then
die.
You had some possibly lives.
Yeah, you were like, possibly they're gonna live. And I was like, the cat's probably gonna live. So we started doing that. But yeah, you kind of get this.
But Michelle, be honest, because I love cats and I'm a crazy cat lady, I have 4. Count them, 4. I do. I love them. So I can't take things happening to cats. And she was like mentally preparing me. She's like, Natalie, the cat's probably going to die.
Well, I was like, it could die. Like it is the 70s. Like the cat might die. It's horror in the 70s. So who knows? But then
I was like, no,
there was a point where I was like, no, the cat's going to live.
Yeah.
Like it was, I called that it would be her and the cat. Like, but anyways, you get kind of this power dynamic between her and Ash. And do you let this guy on the ship? And you understood both sides.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you get her no, that's not the protocol.
Like, she's very much a rule follower. Like, this is how stuff is. He's contaminated.
He could kill all of us.
Yeah.
Which she was kind of right as far as that in the end. And then Ash just kind of goes against the protocols and lets him in. Obviously, we figure out why
which
later.
Leads to a kind of shocking twist that we know why he was, you know, so persistent about things happening the way they did.
Yes. So, of course, the alien gets on the ship. And so you kind of feel like, obviously, you knew once it got to Office Space, well, it can't be dead. This can't be it. So then that guy is in there with all of them eating.
And I will say, not knowing, the only thing I've seen, like I said, is the image. Did I not tell you I said it's inside of him?
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, he starts to, like, upchuck his food.
I mean, that was pretty
brutal. And then, like,
brutal.
You know it's going down when he gets on the I'm like, okay, so here's the, like, iconic scene I have in my mind.
Yeah, that's kind of like a brutal way to die.
Yeah.
So I can kind of imagine, again, totally. Like, watching that in a theater in 1979. People be like, oh, like, oh, gosh. Like, this little disgusting alien creature coming, literally bursting out of the dude's stomach. I mean, it was pretty rough.
It just shows him laying there, like, gray immediately. Like, he's just like,
well, I mean, you know. Nelly, his whole body kind of gets blown up. It's basically like a blown up. Like, he might as well just been hit by, like, dynamite. Like, that was kind of the equivalent of what he did, the alien creature. But so now another reference I get, because we used to watch Spaceballs all the time. And I understood all the Star Wars references, but I always thought it was a little random at the end in the diner where the little alien jumps out of the guy's chest and does the little dance. So now I get it, guys. I understand. I finally understand the Spaceball reference in the diner. So that's complete now.
Okay, and so I did do a little bit of reading today, and apparently, and you guys correct me in the comments if this is not accurate. This is what I read. But, like, the reason it was in his stomach, I guess somehow being on the face, like, it impregnated him.
Oh.
So then it's, like, born.
So the first man had an alien baby. So there you go. There's a first for everything, guys.
We all see how that went.
Yeah, I don't think you want to have an alien baby if that's the way you give birth to the alien baby. It's a little risky. It's a little life-threatening.
It comes with complications.
It does. I don't think a doctor could help that one either. I don't think that you could call the midwife and make that better. It was pretty bad.
You know, and as gross as the alien was, when the little stinger comes out, like, a part of me had to laugh.
It made me laugh a little too.
Because he was like, whoop. You know, just like the way he moves, like, quickly, but...
Well, you realize, like, the Spaceballs thing was pretty accurate. Yeah. Like, they pretty much just ripped it off.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what it was. So then, of course, this thing, they've got to find this thing. And the cat ran off at that point, I believe.
Yeah. He's like, peace.
Yeah. So the guy that kind of seemed like he may be the main character.
Dallas
goes off first. And then he's done. Oh, two.
And I didn't see that coming.
No, two, we see, well, I at one point was like, well, he's, once he went off on his own, I was like, he's dead, because that's how horror themes go.
He was the only one that I felt like kind of had a connection. It's like,
to
I
her.
Knew Sigourney Weaver's character, or Ripley. I knew she was going to live, obviously. But he was the only one, like, even when the alien came out and he kind of, like, protected her, was protective of her. So I just thought, like, maybe he is as good a shot as anybody of making it out with her. But I was wrong.
Yeah, once he went off on his own, that's just kind of like horror movie tropes where it's like, oh, he's a goner. Like, you just kind of, especially that early on in the movie, it didn't feel very good. And it didn't end good.
One thing I want to point out quickly about this movie before I forget, something that I think it did very well, and something maybe they did more like in earlier times because of lack of effects and things, it actually kind of works for it that you don't actually see the alien very much.
Yeah.
It actually kind of, it's kind of like Jaws. Like,
yes.
You don't really see the shark a lot, and there's a great feeling of suspense throughout both movies.
Yes, of like, where is it?
Yes.
Where is, like, the dang thing?
And then the musical score in both
yes.
Were really well done within their respective movies.
Yes, and definitely the case that sometimes... less is more, especially with horror. And I
like
think
you kind of have to use your imagination and be on your toes a little more. You don't know when it's coming or, you know, it leaves a little more mystery for the viewer.
Because you actually, even at the end of the movie, you never truly get a clear, fully clear shot of the scale of the thing or just fully its size.
That was actually the first time you see, but you see its form.
You see its form and face.
Yeah, its face, and it has a tail, if you notice.
Yeah, it has a tail. It does, like, and it can almost, like, stab people. I feel like it stabs a few people, maybe.
And it's got, like, a mouth within a mouth. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, that mouth was kind of, and it, his head, the shape of it, it was quite interesting. But
like, you're just like, it's quite disgusting.
It was disgusting. You know, actually, I had a Star Wars reference. It kind of reminds me of, what's her name? Zori Bliss's character, Carrie Russell, like her helmet shape, it's kind of like the alien head. But that's random. But anyway.
So. Well, it kind of is, but not like in the same ugly way.
Not disgusting. And then she's, you know, lovely looking.
She
so
is.
Compared to this disgusting alien. But anyways, moving on with the alien, you do. So you see him, and of course, Dallas is gone. And then I called that woman was going to die.
And once again, I kind of like that they don't really show it.
Yeah.
Like it's just implied.
Yes, you don't see anything, which is nice. And two, I was already, you kind of called, well, you knew, no, Dallas isn't the first guy to die. Remember, it's that one guy that goes off looking for the cat first, I think.
I think he was second.
Oh, was he second?
You guys correct us in the comments.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting confused on the order of who dies. But
no, you're right. Maybe... Wait a minute. The cat guy, he might have been first.
I think.
Looking for Jones.
Yes, I think so. Looking
cat.
Jones the cat. But looking for him. So, yeah, you kind of begin to get... And two, something, because we're massive, you guys know, Stranger Things fans. They definitely modeled, like, Dart in season two, him shedding his skin and keeps getting bigger off of Alien, which I never knew that because I never watched Alien. So
the only thing I will say... And, you know, we said this kind of watching it. Maybe you guys can explain more, like, how this alien works. But from the time this thing is born and it sheds one time, and it seems, like, massive. And it's like you kind of think there'd be a little more intermediate if there's going to be a shedding process to, like, get to its full growth. I mean,
maybe,
it's like...
Maybe it did somewhere in the raft.
Yeah,
so we just
maybe
didn't
we didn't
it.
See. Maybe it had shed before.
Yeah, quite possibly. So then, of course, the next big kind of, like, thing that happens that's kind of like, oh, is you find the ash is a... I was like, why is there white dripping from his face? And you find out, in the words of Austin Powers, he's a fembot! Obviously, he's not a fembot, but
they
he's a...
They start trying to take his wig off.
Yeah, exactly. He's a man, baby!
It's a man, baby!
Yeah, so you figure out he
is a...
He's
a freaking robot!
You figure out he's a robot. And they take him out.
A very lifelike one.
Very, very real. I mean, that was like some Mission Impossible stuff going on in this robot. And don't you guys have to love that in the 70s, they're like, in 2037, we're just going to roam other planets. And it's like, yeah, I don't think we're going to be there in 2037.
Like, that's like 16 years from now. Like, I don't know that we're going to progress quite that much.
I don't think we are. And so anyways, so then you get the one African-American gentleman, what was his name? I don't know any of their names.
Yeah, it's hard on first viewing.
I didn't even know Dallas'
name. Like, sixth character to catch everybody's name.
Yeah, I just knew Ash and
Ripley. Kind of the ones that stick out the most.
And Jones Cat. But him and the woman, I kind of thought, well, maybe he could make it. But the woman you knew was going to die, because any time in a horror movie someone's freaking the heck out, like, constantly, they die. So you
I
knew
think
they
she
were
was kind of supposed to represent maybe how the audience felt.
Yes,
like,
definitely.
She was kind of there to be that in the film. But yeah, you kind of know when someone's, like, emotionally unstable like that and whiny. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I mean, I would be right there with her probably. But she, you knew she wasn't going to make it.
Oh, so something that kind of made me laugh out loud, because we were just in a silly mood when we watched this.
We were.
After
we still
the,
are.
After the first guy dies, don't you just love, they don't take his, they weren't going to take his body back to Earth to be buried.
That's
just
what I'm saying.
Choo, out in space.
It's like you'd think, like, working together so closely, but they're just kind of
like, bye. See ya.
Bye.
And I mean, in the end, it wasn't going to matter because she was going to have to blow up the ship anyways.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that at the time. So,
like, does he have a family back?
Yeah. Like, they might want to, like, bury his body. I don't know. They probably would want to. But yeah, they just kind of, see ya.
The family's like, so can we get the body back? They're like,
no. about that. We just kind of sent them out into outer space.
You might be hard to locate.
We thought that would be better. But yeah, they did that. So then too, you know, the shafts really kind of, or the hallways of the ship kind of became like a place of kind of horror in the movie.
Oh yeah.
Of any time they're walking down them, and of course he gets that guy and the woman, at which point you just have Ripley left.
And I mean, how terrifying for her.
Yes, on this massive ship, they've kind of begun to try to enclose this creature, which they pretty much, I kept wondering, how is she going to kill him? Because they basically established he's indestructible.
Well, and I mean, that was quite the, let's backtrack a little bit. So when you find out Ash is a robot, and he says the true intention of this thing, because you'll notice when Dallas was trying to, and correct us too, guys, who is Mother? Like, is Mother, like, the mothership, like, or, like, back at the base?
Like, is Mother on planet Earth?
Yeah,
or, like in another place?
And so he's the one that can, like, communicate with her, and it starts messing up, and it, like, won't communicate with them. So then when Sigourney Weaver gets in there, and she does, like, an override, and she gets in there, and it's basically, like, the whole crew is expendable.
Yes.
Get the thing back to Earth, you know, for whatever reason, they want this alien, I don't know if it's as a massive weapon of mass destruction or what its purpose is possibly for.
Because we all know it was going to kill them too. So yeah. I don't know what they were going to do with this thing.
They had some big tranquilizers or something on hand.
Well, it's like its skin, it's indestructible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it turns into acid if you try to mess with it. So it's kind of confusing what they're going to do with it.
And so this thing, the movie does a good job of gradually just getting more and more hopeless feeling.
Yes.
And daunting. Because when Ash is about to, like, they're about to turn his wires back off, you know, he's like, I do want to say, you know, I'm sorry for it. Basically, none of you are going to make it. Like,
yeah.
It's just not possible.
Yeah, I forget his wording.
Yeah, his exact wording, but that was basically the
sentiment.
Yeah,
he was like, bye. like, you done, son.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are dead.
All of you.
He pretty much ended like this, you guys are done.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. None of you guys are going to make it. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
But that was a big moment when she's at the thing and she sees that and then he walks in. So this is before he's had his reveal and she's kind of like, what does this mean? He's like, I think you know what it means.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of what it says.
He was looking especially evil.
Yeah. The guy had bad vibes from the start.
He did.
And then he knew.
And his name's Ash. I mean, that just right from the get-go.
That's strike one.
It just kind of felt like Ash, like burning flesh or something. I don't know.
Totally.
He was creeper.
I get where you're going with that.
Yeah, he was a creeper.
But, you know, so then it's like he starts, like, throwing her around and you're like, dang, this guy's bad. But, yeah, anyway, so we see the reveal. So that was pretty cool for 79.
Yeah.
Even though Michelle pointed out clearly what they did with when he's, like, deconstructed.
Yeah, he was just down under his
thing. Under a table and his...
Because that head was perfect, so,
and he's got that milk sweat.
Yeah, he's got the milk sweat going on, which is interesting. So then, the end is, like... her getting to this, what are they called? The extra ship.
Yeah.
The shuttle.
The X-Wing.
Yeah, the shuttle. Her getting to the shuttle, and she gets there. Okay, first she couldn't find the cat again.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
She had to get the cat.
And then me as a cat lover, I'm getting anxiety every time she'd put the cat down and go off somewhere. I'm like, go back and get the cat.
Oh,
I mean, I know that's like silly when you're in survival mode, but it's like, it's like at this point, it's like, get the cat. Like,
well, I knew the cat was safe at that point. Once towards the end, okay, I felt the cat was going to live once that first guy died and the camera does the random shot of the cat twice and the cat's just like, oh, wow.
It was kind of a really awkward close-up of the cat, and I love cats. But, and at that point, too, I thought, because you notice from the beginning, you're like, there's a cat and he's eating all the time. And then you're kind of like, for me, who was very much rooting for him to survive, it's like, if his only purpose in this whole movie was to be there while the guy, for him to hiss, and the guy's like, you know,
yeah,
that to be
the
like
alien.
The warning, it's like, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
So then after that, like Michelle, I'm like, they'll probably find a way he's going to make it.
So, like a boss, Sigourney Weaver's character, Ripley, she gets the cat, she collects the cat, she works her
multiple
way,
times because she's just got to put it down and, you know, take on a new thing. And
yes, because at one point she has to go back the other way and leave the cat because the alien is right there.
Yeah.
So she's got to kind of, I forget what she does at that point. But so she's just trying to work her way to the shuttle. Oh, and she was going to go back at that point because once she had to set the ship to blow up because that's how she was going to kill him.
So the suspense is just building. So you're feeling anxious as the viewer.
So she has, once it's set, 10 minutes to get off, but 5 minutes to undo what she just did.
It's non-negotiable.
And she goes and you think she made it and then nope. You got 5 minutes to get to that shuttle. Yeah. At which point the intensity's like, girl, you got to go. You gotta find Jonesy Cat and you gotta go. And she's able to get Jones and get on the shuttle. And at which point she goes off and it just, you know, she watches it blow up the ship. But I just kinda told Natalie, I looked at her and I said, well, that surely can't be it. Like, he can't be dead. Like, this can't be the end.
It's like, we talked about it. We're like, you know, realistically, she had gone through so much trauma over the last few hours of her life. But in movie version,
yeah,
that's not quite enough.
Yeah, it's not enough.
This is too easy.
So I told, like, I, when I definitively knew, okay, this is... And to our defense, as this movie ends, 70s movies end randomly. So it could have ended with her just seeing it blow up and that be the end. But once she put the cat in that little, like, compartment thing where they sleep.
Put away and safe.
I was like, oh no. That
something's about to happen.
That alien's in the shuttle. Like, it's in there. And so then, of course, we see, I think the hand just reaches out at her. Like, she's kind of standing and this hand reaches out at her. And I just want to say... the alien is really smug. Like, did anyone else pick that up? Like, he's just like, ha-ha, like, I'm enjoying myself on your ship. Like,
he's like, gotcha!
Yeah, his vibe. He's just like, sitting there, just like, chilling, like, this is my ship now.
He's like smoking a cigarette.
He really could have been. Like, that's how smug the alien was. Like, he was smug. You know he was smug. And he needed to go. And he was about to go. So then...
Was this before or after she strips her clothes off?
Before. Yes. No, after. Yeah. After.
Okay. She had gotten her clothes off. She'd taken her clothes off.
We have to discuss the underwear. That underwear. I mean, Sigourney Weaver is like just so thin and built in this movie.
But
and
let's address the elephant.
That was the worst fitting underwear
that I've ever seen in my life.
Of all time.
I mean, granny panties are better.
Yes. Like, had she full blown would have been granny panties.
Because it's like, I think, you know, maybe that was before the time of, I won't say what they're called, but like a different form of women's underwear. And that was the closest thing to it. But it was like giving her love handles that she doesn't really even have. And it was just like, real, like...
it was kind of like she had on like an 8-year-old's underwear that didn't fit her. Like, that's kind of what it looks. So I don't know if that's
maybe
supposed
even
to be
a
space.
5-year-old.
I don't know if it's supposed to be space underwear, but dang, it was bad. So
still, it's science.
We just had to point that out because it had to be pointed out because it's so bad and it was so ill fitting.
We couldn't let it go.
That we were like, my gosh, that is the worst fitting underwear we've ever seen.
Like, the worst ever.
Like, terrible. I mean, it was as ugly as the alien. I mean, it was brutal.
I mean, body, beautiful. Yeah. Underwear?
Bad.
So
anyways, so she then, because Ripley is, I mean, she's awesome. So she begins to figure out, she finds that suit next to her, because she figures out, you know, what she can do to get rid of this creature that's indestructible.
She is good under pressure.
Yes, she is. She works under pressure. And of course, Jones Cat, Jonesy Cat. Or I know his name's Jones. I just prefer Jonesy Cat.
Mr. Jones and me.
He's taken care of. So, and she's got to deal with the smug alien that thinks he's taken over her shuttle. So she puts on the suit and latches in, and then opens up like the shaft to get that stupid alien out of the shaft. And at first he was really hanging on.
Yeah.
And she had to shoot him too. She shot him.
And just, I will say, as the viewer, what was great was her, you could feel her anxiety. Like, when she's in changing and putting, she's trying to be so quiet. And then when she sits down in the chair, because she's trying, you know, obviously, like, if she really gets his attention, like, it's game over.
Yeah.
You know, so she's got to be so careful about this.
Well, that's why I'm saying he's smug. Because he knows she's there.
True.
He reaches out and grabs her.
That's
but
what's
he's
weird.
Just he's just kinda like chilling over there, like almost laying on a banister, like, what are you doing in that chair, woman?
He's like, you can't outsmart me.
Yeah, like, he's so smug and cocky, but she got him. See, pride comes before a fall, guys.
And so. I will say, on the character of Ripley, throughout the whole thing and reflecting, it's not being a woman that she was physically really strong. Obviously, some of the men were stronger, but she was clearly mentally the strongest passenger on this voyage.
Yeah.
And that served her well.
It did serve her well. Yeah. She outsmarted that stupid alien. So,
so another thing I read, and you guys can tell us if you want us to proceed on this alien first watch. Apparently, this is just kind of the beginning for Ripley, and she gets, like, better and better. Like, more intense and more, you know, like, taking care of business.
Yeah, definitely let us know if you guys want us to do first watch of this alien franchise. Like, just to kind of continue the first watch with Alien. So let us know about that. I'm trying to think. And then, of course, it just ends with, like, she's, like, in the like, sleep
kinda
thing.
Kind of at peace.
At peace, and it's good.
Like, we'll be home in a few months, which that
yes.
would kind of
yes.
suck because, yeah. like, you don't have, like, TV. It doesn't appear or anything. And
we're
like,
we hope she has food.
I hope you have food for you and the cat. Like,
I would say they do. I would say they do in a shuttle. But,
yeah, like space food.
But, man, she had been through it. I mean, talk about trauma.
I hope there's a shower on there, a nice hot bath for her.
Yeah, that was rough. But she'd gone through. But what you're saying, too, about
and a change of undies.
Yeah. So get some fresh undies that actually fit you. But anyways.
Wear the men's if you have to.
They would probably fit better. So that's what we're saying here. Yeah, but like you're saying about the tension when she's in that room, that's just classic horror. Like that
yeah.
good horror really builds, you feel the anxiety of the character, you feel the tension of the moment. And this did that.
And like I said, what this movie does well, well, I can see it's a classic. It's not over the top in ways. Like, it is, like, it builds suspense without being overly showing too much, but yet it still keeps your attention the whole
yes.
time. So, really well done.
Yeah, well done. So, Natalie, are we going to rank this movie for our first watch? And here is the thing, guys. For the most part, I don't really know how I feel about a movie until I watch it
yeah,
twice.
True.
So my ranking could go up the next time. Natalie, on a ranking of enjoyment, how many hoots do you give this?
Okay, and I'm going to bear in mind this is a 1979 horror movie / space movie. So I'm going to give it 4.5 hoots.
Okay.
It could go up.
Okay.
If I watched it again.
I was going to give it, and mine could go up if I watch it again. I'm going to give it 4 hoots. For my enjoyment of 4 out of 5 for my first time watching Alien. And yes, Ripley is off to a very good start. So I'm definitely interested to see what happens with Sigourney Weaver's Ripley character. But
that's off to her for apparently wanting to go back into this mess.
Yeah. So that is it for our first watch of Alien. And please let us know below if there's anyone who... If you saw this in theaters even.
Yeah.
Like that would be so awesome. So definitely leave comments below. Let us know what you thought about this, especially if you saw it in theaters.
Was that normal women's underwear at the time? Okay, I'm gonna stop.
Let us know what you think about this movie. Like how does it hold up to you? Are you a lover of this franchise? Is Ripley one of the best female characters? You know, just share your thoughts below. And, you know, don't forget to subscribe. But also, don't forget to subscribe, thumbs up the video, and leave a comment to enter into our giveaway. So definitely go ahead and do that. We will announce that winner next week. But again, that was it for this episode of Force of Light Entertainment. We appreciate you guys joining in the conversation and watching with us, listening to us for those of you by podcast. And don't forget to join us Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you like 90s teen movies, we will be discussing that.
If you secretly like 90s teen movies.
Yeah, it's always fun when you guys join the chat. Yeah, guys, we're looking at you. You know you like them. But yeah, join our conversation then because it's going to be a lot of fun. And it will be awesome. And again, for those of you who like to listen, we'll upload that on the podcast version the next day. Well, you can find us. You can find us at Force of Light Entertainment on Twitter and Instagram at Force of Light Entertainment. Natalie, where can they find you?
I am NatLovesBella07 on Instagram and Natalie R. Grace on Twitter.
Yes, and I am Michelle34Smith on Instagram. So look us up there. But again, that is it. Thank you for joining. And remember, as we say, to be a force of light. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.